And Rob and Hayley Hance are going to read to us from God's Word, first from Proverbs chapter 2, and then from Matthew chapter 13.
Right, reading from the Good News Bible, it's page 630. Learn what I teach you, my son, and never forget what I tell you to do. Listen to what is wise and try to understand it. Yes, beg for knowledge, plead for insight. Look for it as hard as you would for silver or some hidden treasure. If you do, you will know what it means to fear the Lord, and you will succeed in learning about God.
Our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 50. If you have a copy of the Bible, it's in the New Testament section on page 20. It's a sequence of parables. The first one is the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up again and is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has and then goes back and buys that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls. And when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Some fishermen throw their net out in the lake and catch all kinds of fish. When the net is full, they pull it to shore and sit down to divide the fish. The good ones go into their buckets. The worthless ones are thrown away. It will be like this at the end of the age. The angels will go out and gather up the evil people from among the good and will throw them away into the fiery furnace where they will cry and grind their teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray. O God, our Father, we have just affirmed that we have heard your word. Help us as we continue to reflect upon it so that we can hear what you are saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you dream last night? I did. I dream every night. I dream in Technicolor. Tell me, did you dream of winning the lottery last night? What a difference it would make to win £10 million. Or, if not the lottery, do you dream about some unknown distant aunt leaving you £10,000? Or if it's not a very good dream, do you dream of the bank writing you a letter and saying they've made a mistake and there's another £1,000 that is yours? Yes, we could all do with a windfall. And Jesus once told a parable of a man who had a wonderful windfall. No, he didn't win the lottery. He didn't have some distant aunt who remembered him. Nor did the bank find in his favour. He stumbled on some treasure. Incidentally, Caroline, my wife, repeatedly has people come before her who stumble across treasure. It's called treasure trove. Anyway, go back to this. Imagine there is a farmer ploughing the field when suddenly his ox's foot slips into a hole and the foot of the animal knocks against a jar and smashes it open. And to the farmer's amazement, he discovers it's not any old jar, but it's a jar containing treasure. Some gold coins, perhaps. Some jewels. Now, it may sound a little far-fetched. It's not what you find in your garden every day, is it? But in the ancient world, there were no banks for ordinary people. And if you had money of one kind or another, you actually buried it. Actually, in New Zealand, we met a man, or rather Caroline met a man. He was a Lloyd's name and he didn't trust the banks anymore. So he hid bars of gold bullion beneath the foundations of his house. Anyway, let's go back to Palestine. Palestine was one of the most fought over countries in the world. And when they were threatened by war, then people would hide their treasures in the garden. They would bury their valuables in the hope that once the war was over, they could dig it all up and it would be theirs again. Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote of the gold and the silver, which the Jews treasured up underground against the uncertain fortunes of war. But to return to our story, this farmer strikes lucky. And what does he do? Does he take hold of the treasure? No, he covers it up again. And then he goes back home to find every penny that is his so that he can buy the field. You see, it doesn't seem to have been his field. He was what we call a tenant farmer. Now, you might think that he should have told the man whose field it was what he was buying. But as far as the Jews were concerned, finders were always keepers. At any rate, that's not the point that Jesus is trying to make. The punchline of the story is this. This man is so happy that he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field in order to get the treasure, of course. And then Jesus told another story, which actually wasn't all that different from the story of the hidden treasure. But the hero of this story is quite different. Whereas the farmer is an ordinary working man, the hero of this other parable is a dealer in fine pearls. You know, he moved amongst the people who had money. And pearls then as now were highly prized and desperately expensive. Did you read this week of the Duchess of Windsor's jewels being sold? They sold for quite a lot of money, didn't they? How much did, was it £4 million one brooch went? Well, did you know that Cleopatra owned a pearl worth £16 million in our money? Now, according to Jesus, the dealer in this story came across a pearl of equal value, if not even of greater beauty. And what does he do? Jesus says he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. Well, I'm sure that to begin with, his friends must have thought him quite mad. But to the dealer, it was worth it. Because in selling everything he suddenly had a bargain. Mind you, if it'd been me, I'd have gone and flogged the pearl again, but that's another matter. At any rate, says Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happens to find treasure hidden in a field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls. So what was Jesus trying to say? Well, it seems to me that first of all, Jesus was saying that life in God's kingdom is priceless. Life in God's kingdom is the most precious experience imaginable. Look at the two parables again. The one thing that they have in common is that both the farmer and the dealer in fine pearls find something of great value. It's so valuable, it's worth selling everything they've got to get it. Or to put it another way, to experience the life God offers us is like winning the jackpot. It's worth more than a king or queen's ransom. It's worth everything. Now, that's not to deny that there are certain good things in life. I went to the pantomime yesterday. That's good, isn't it? Some of you who might be a bit more snooty in the world of art might go to the ballet and you'll enjoy that. Or you might go to the theatre. You might go to a concert. They're all good things. Caroline and I have just returned from New Zealand and we're grateful for the opportunity of travel. That's good. And then there are other good things like relationships. Where would we be without friends or family? Yes, in so many ways our lives are enriched. Yet compared to Jesus, all these good things are of limited value. Because Jesus and the life he offers surpasses them all. How so? Well, first of all, Jesus offers us something which meets our deepest need. He offers us a new life where all the failures of the past are forgiven and forgotten. He enables us to know God as Father. And you know, sometimes in this world we feel very lonely. And to discover that there is someone who loves us and who will always love us is a gift beyond price. Yes, with Jesus we find forgiveness, fulfillment, and love. And what's more, Jesus offers something of permanent value. Nothing else stands the test of time. For while we may enjoy the pantomime and the ballet and the theatre and the concert, a day will come when these things come to an end. And that's true of the fulfillment we may find at home or with friends. Ultimately, we must give everything up, because ultimately we will die. But the life Jesus offers us goes beyond the grave. No wonder we read that the farmer was so happy that he went and sold all that he had. He gave up everything. Every penny he had, it was worth it. And that was also the Apostle Paul's experience. When he wrote to a church in Philippi, he talked about the difference that Jesus made to his life. He said, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Indeed, he went on to say, it's like dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ and be embraced by him. Can you say that? If not, then I believe that you've yet to discover the difference that Jesus can make to life. You've yet to stumble across the hidden treasure, yet to find the pearl of great price. And then the second point is this, that life in God's kingdom is found in differing ways. It seems to me that these two parables teach us that there is no one way in which people discover what God has to offer. In the parable of the farmer, who stumbles across treasure in the field, his wealth comes to him quite unexpectedly. It was like winning the lottery. Whereas in the second parable, the dealer only finds the pearl of great price after much searching. What I'm trying to say is this. There are some who just stumble across Jesus, as it were. They walk into a church. They hear a person giving their testimony. They hear a sermon, perhaps. And all of a sudden, hey presto, they become Christians. They realize, just like that, what God is offering them. On the other hand, there are others who become Christians only as a result of searching. Searching perhaps for many years. And for some people, Alpha, that 10-week course that we run, is part of the search. You see, there is no one way of discovering the life that God offers us in Jesus. What counts is that in one way or another, we find Jesus. So my question is this, have you found him? Have you discovered the difference that he can make to your life? And the third thing I want to say is that life in God's kingdom is worth everything. Sometimes people speak of the Christian life as though it involves sacrificing things. Well, you might say that the farmer and the dealer in fine pearls sacrificed everything to get the treasure, to get the pearl. But I don't think they would have used the language of sacrifice. They were delighted at the opportunity of giving their all in order to get something even better. So what does this say to us? Life in God's kingdom is worth everything. Life in God's kingdom may demand our all, but we are fortunate to have the opportunity of securing what is there. I think that's an important perspective to the Christian life. Yes, Jesus does make demands. He does call us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him. Far too many people regard Christianity as an add-on, a bit of an extra. When we were in New Zealand, somebody lent us a car and they apologized it didn't have air conditioning. But I, as far as I was concerned, a car is a car is a car. And air conditioning, well, that's a little luxury, isn't it? It's not essential. Some people seem to think that Christianity, again, is one of those little extras. Something that it simply enhances life. Whereas, in fact, Christianity is about life being turned upside down. For when a person becomes a Christian, a revolution takes place. We undergo a change of ownership. To use the jargon, we say that Jesus becomes Lord of our lives. And that's really what's happening here this morning. That's what Alan and Anna are going to be displaying to us. Because to know forgiveness and to experience the life that God has for us in Jesus, we must give our all. And that's symbolized here in baptism. As Anna and Alan are baptized, they will be symbolizing their commitment to Jesus. As they go under the water, they'll be saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe you died for me." And as they come up out of the water, they'll be saying, as it were, "Yes, Lord, and I want to live my life for you forever." The fact is that Jesus demands our all, but he gives all. Life in the kingdom of God may be likened to a fabulous hoard of treasure or to an amazingly beautiful pearl. There is nothing else to compare. It's worth everything we have to receive. But whereas in the two parables only one person could find the treasure, only one person could get the pearl, in reality, the life that God offers us is for us all. It's not just for Anna. It's not just for Alan. It's for you and for me. Yes, Jesus died for each one of us. He gave his life for each one of us here, that each one of us might be forgiven, that each one of us might discover God as Father, that each one of us might find fulfillment, that each one of us might find meaning, that each one of us might find life that never ends. Let me encourage you this morning to see the wonder of what God has done for you, and then take action. Let's pray. Let's have a moment's silence as we reflect on the story. Father God, when we think of treasure, when we think of jewels, we think of fine things. And we bless you that in Jesus you have given us your very finest. You have given us your very best. Help us to take action, to seize the life you offer. In Jesus' name, amen.